Think your neighbors are bad? Think again. This is the Nightmare Neighbors Podcast.
You know, when you picture like idyllic Philadelphia townhome living, I don't think neighborly showdowns are usually part of the dream, but your experience with the Thompsons, that's why we do these deep dives, right? We're talking like straight up escalating tension, HOA mysteries, and just that feeling of being powerless in your own home.
You know what really got me was how this picture-perfect neighborhood became the backdrop for this whole stressful ordeal. And it started so subtly, too. Like, you were connecting with people, enjoying quiet evenings with Bella and Max. And then came those arguments with Mrs. Thompson, right? Oh. Always seemingly about nothing. But you were left with this unsettling feeling of being watched. Have you ever had one of those, like, where a seemingly small issue just spirals?
It's amazing, right? Like, how often we just kind of brush off those early signs. Like, we're hardwired for that sense of community, that hope for peace. And we explain away those red flags. But what you're describing, that hypervigilance, that's like your gut knew something was off even before things really went sideways.
And escalate, they did. Hmm. You mentioned Mrs. Thompson constantly reminding you of her position on the HOA board. Was she flexing from like day one?
Yeah. You know, using a position of authority even subtly can be a way to kind of assert control, especially those shared living spaces.
Yeah.
It's about setting the tone, you know, creating this undercurrent where their word somehow carries more weight, even if it's unspoken.
And speak up, she did. Those complaints about Bella and Max, even though none of the other neighbors had ever said a word. It's like she was just like manufacturing an issue where there wasn't one. What's the psychology behind that kind of tactic?
It could be a way of isolating you from the get-go. If she can make you feel like everybody's complaining, you're less likely to reach out to those other neighbors, you know, build those alliances. It's a classic control tactic.
It's like she was building her case even back then, and you were just trying to enjoy walks with your pups.
And think about how that impacts you over time.
Right.
You're constantly second-guessing yourself, wondering if you're misinterpreting things, and that self-doubt just fuels their control.
It's insidious. And then those confrontations with the Thompsons went from 0 to 60. You mentioned Mr. Thompson brandishing his walking stick. It's terrifying how quickly a disagreement can turn threatening.
And don't underestimate the psychological impact of that kind of shift. One minute it's a neighborly dispute, and the next you're fearing for your safety.
Yeah.
That digs into you know, to your sense of peace in your own home.
It chips away at it for sure. Then there was that whole security camera situation. You specifically requested they only face your property, yet you found them angled into Mrs. Thompson's yard.
That blatant disregard for boundaries, especially after you'd voiced your concerns, it's a power move. It sends a message.
Yeah.
You know, your rules don't apply to me. You tried to be reasonable. You left notes, had conversations, but it only seemed to make things worse.
It's like she was fueled by the conflict. So you started documenting everything, dates, times, even taking photos and videos. That's smart.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Documentation is crucial in these situations. It creates this unbiased record of events, especially when emotions are running high.
Yeah.
Plus, if you ever need to involve the authorities, you've got that concrete evidence.
And you did just that. You reached out to other neighbors to see if they'd experienced similar behavior. And surprise, surprise, you weren't alone. This wasn't just about you. It was a pattern.
That's a turning point right there. It validates your experience. Isolating the target is a common tactic in these situations. But by connecting with others, you break that isolation. You build a support system, and it shows that this behavior won't be tolerated. There's immense power in shared experience.
So you had this like growing file of incidents, other neighbors backing you up, yet the HOA was hesitant to get involved. It's like, what's the point of these organizations if they don't address these kinds of issues head on?
Yeah, HOAs can be tricky. They walk this fine line between enforcing the rules and trying to avoid liability. Often their hands are tied by their bylaws, which, you know, might not fully address these more nuanced situations.
So even with evidence and community support, you were stuck in this frustrating limbo. It sounds like you were at your wit's end.
And that's precisely the point where it becomes crucial to prioritize your own well-being. You can't control how the HOA responds, but you can control how you take care of yourself in the middle of all this.
Easier said than done when you're dealing with this like constant tension, right? What are some practical steps listeners can take to manage that emotional toll?
Well, first and foremost, lean on that support system you've built. Talk to those neighbors who get it. Vent to trusted friends and family. Sharing the burden really does lighten it.
And I imagine documenting everything helped you feel more in control, too.
Absolutely. Each time you document an incident, you're reclaiming a little bit of that power. You're saying, this happened, I'm recording it, and it's not going to be swept under the rug.
It's like creating a paper trail for your own sanity.
Exactly. And beyond that, prioritize self-care like never before. whether it's those long walks, a favorite hobby, or even just carving out quiet time for yourself, those moments of respite become crucial.
Because this wasn't just a difference of opinion, it was impacting your everyday life. You were living with this constant undercurrent of stress.
And that's where it's important. Remember, you have rights. Familiarize yourself with local laws regarding harassment, tenant rights, and yes, even those HOA regulations. Knowledge is empowering, and it can help you advocate for yourself more effectively.
So what does that look like in action? What are some specific things someone in this situation should be looking for in their local laws or HOA rules?
Start with those noise ordinances. Are there specific times when noise complaints are valid? Document if they were violating those. Look into harassment laws. Many jurisdictions have provisions against patterns of intimidating behavior.
So those seemingly small incidents, like the staring you mentioned, they could actually build a case over time.
Exactly. It's about connecting the dots, showing a pattern of behavior that goes beyond just simple disagreements. And if those avenues fail, consulting with an attorney who specializes in these types of cases can be incredibly valuable.
They can help navigate those legal complexities and advocate for your rights when you might not have the energy to keep fighting.
Precisely. Because at a certain point, it's not just about resolving the conflict with your neighbor. It's about protecting your own well-being and peace of mind.
And speaking of Mrs. Thompson, I have to ask, did you ever get a sense of what was driving her behavior? It's like she was on a mission to make your life miserable.
You're right to be curious about that, because often the why can be surprisingly illuminating. Remember how she kept pushing those noise complaints even when no one else backed her up? That need for control for her version of events to be the dominant one? It speaks volumes.
It's like she needed to be right even when all the evidence said otherwise. And then there was that incident where she accused you of tampering with her mail, even calling the police, only for it to turn out she'd misplaced it herself.
Classic projection. It's a psychological defense mechanism where someone attributes their own flaws or actions onto others. It's easier to blame someone else than to take responsibility for making a mistake.
So instead of admitting she lost her mail, she created this whole drama accusing you of something you didn't do.
Exactly. It's a way of deflecting attention away from their own shortcomings and maintaining that sense of control we talked about earlier.
It's like she needed a villain and she cast you in that role.
It's a common theme, unfortunately.
Mm.
And remember when you discovered that Mrs. Thompson had a history of conflicts with previous neighbors?
Oh, yeah. Those online forums were eye-opening. It was like she had a revolving door of enemies.
That pattern of behavior suggests this wasn't just a one-off situation. It points to a deeper issue, a need to exert control over her environment and the people in it.
So how do you deal with someone like that? Someone who seems determined to create conflict, even when you've tried everything to set boundaries and find peace?
That's the million-dollar question. And honestly, there's no easy answer. You can't change someone else's behavior no matter how hard you try.
So what can you do?
You can control how you respond. You can refuse to get caught in the trap of needing to change her or win every argument. Sometimes the most powerful act is disengaging from the conflict as much as possible.
So it's less about fighting fire with fire and more about
starving the fire of oxygen. You mentioned creating that safe haven within your own home. That's an incredibly powerful step. It's about shifting your focus from trying to change the external situation, which you often can't control, to managing your internal state and finding peace within yourself.
That makes a lot of sense. You're not giving up. You're choosing where to focus your energy.
Precisely. It's about recognizing that your well-being is paramount.
And sometimes that means stepping back from a toxic situation, even if you never get that Hollywood-ending apology or change of heart.
Sometimes the biggest victory is simply reclaiming your peace of mind.
We're back. And, you know, we're wrapping up our deep dive into your experience with, neighbor conflicts. We've talked about setting boundaries, documenting everything, even seeking legal counsel. But as you learn, sometimes even those measures don't lead to a clean resolution.
It's the truth, though, right? We can do everything by the book. And some individuals are just determined to make life difficult.
It really is like trying to play chess with someone who just flips the board when they're about to lose.
Wow.
You know, you described how even after taking legal action, Mrs. Thompson's harassment continued. Slashing tires, vandalizing property.
Yeah.
It's hard to wrap your head around that level of animosity.
Yeah. And it's a reminder that we can't control the actions of others, only our responses.
Oh.
You mentioned building that safe haven inside your home, you know, reinforcing your sense of security. That, to me, that's incredibly powerful.
Yeah, it sounds like you were taking back control in a way that benefited you, regardless of her actions.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And it's not about giving up or giving in. It's about being strategic with where you put your energy.
Mm.
You can keep fighting a losing battle on her terms, or you can focus on building a life you love in spite of it all.
It's choosing to cultivate your garden instead of trying to poison your neighbor's weeds. You mentioned finding solace in your relationship with your husband, those moments of joy amidst the chaos. Did those become even more important during that time?
Of course. Difficult experiences can either make or break relationships, and it sounds like you two found strength in unity. A shared resilience that becomes its own form of resistance.
You're not weathering the storm. You're learning to dance in the rain. And you also talked about finding therapeutic outlets, journaling, meditation. Did those practices help you to cope with the emotional roller coaster?
Absolutely. Those are fantastic tools for reclaiming your inner peace. Journaling can help process the anger, the frustration, you know, getting it all out of your head and onto paper. And meditation, with that focus on breath and being present, creates a space where their actions hold less power over you.
It's like building that internal fortress brick by mindful brick.
Precisely. And the more you cultivate that inner peace, the less the external chaos can even touch it.
You know, it makes me think of that quote, peace. It does not mean to be in a place where there is no noise, trouble, or hard work. It means to be in the midst of those things and still be calm in your heart. And that feels really relevant here.
That's beautiful and so true. You found a way to not just survive, but thrive even when surrounded by such a challenging situation.
Yeah.
Honestly, your story is a testament to how resilient people can be.
You didn't let Mrs. Thompson win. You found your own version of victory, and that's something to celebrate.
It really is. You took your power back, not by changing her, but by choosing how you responded. You refused to let her define your life.
And that's what we really want listeners to take away from this. You know, neighbor conflicts are tough, but you're not alone. There are resources, there are strategies, and most importantly, there's hope for finding peace, even if your neighbor seems dead set on waging war.
Well said. And never underestimate the power of reaching out, connecting with others, sharing your story. Sometimes just knowing you're not alone makes all the difference.
Listener, thank you for trusting us with your experience. And to everyone tuning in, keep those stories coming and we'll keep diving deep. Until next time, remember, you've got this.
Want more Nightmare Neighbors stories? Then press subscribe now wherever you're listening to this podcast. We'll give at least one brand new Nightmare Neighbor story every single day. Plus, you can always explore the archive as well. This is the Nightmare Neighbors podcast. Press subscribe now.